be a part of the show, call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
Hey, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And we thank the one and only state rep, Josh Cutler, for coming in studio. He was supposed to call in. And
it's always
he was
a bonus.
Doing a little pinch hitting for state rep Jim Cantwell, who was unable to make it. Definitely appreciated. Now, it was a great segue that he did, speaking with Mayor Joe Sullivan. Mayor, how are you on this good evening?
I'm well, Kevin. How are you? Is that Joe in studio with you as well?
That is.
Yes, it Joe. Is.
Yeah. Well, hey, Joe.
Good, Mayor. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys.
Good.
I got to tell you, from what I understand, it's been quite a hectic couple of weeks for the town of Braintree, just like every other community.
Well, I don't know if it's the word is hectic. We've been very busy, but I think we're somewhat organized in our approach to these storms, so we're not running around helter-skelter. But I will acknowledge that this has been a huge challenge since January the 26th when the first storm hit. So we're working through it, let me tell you. We're working through it.
Yeah, I that's not the first thing that I want to start out with. I think probably the first thing I want to start out with was you've got yourself another level of status, being a celebrity. I see you were quoted by Howie, the great Howie Carr, in the Sunday Herald in regards to the panel that's been put together, the Blue Ribbon Commission by Governor Charlie Baker. Give me your thoughts on being named to that commission and being named in this article.
Well, I wasn't aware of being named in the article. I will say that the governor and I have spoken a lot about transportation over the past months. He cares deeply about it and wants to make sure that we have an efficient system. And so a couple of weeks back, he had indicated that he wanted to put together this special commission. I had also spoken with Lieutenant Governor Polito, and they asked if I could support the cause. And so I decided to, sign up, if you will. We're focused, and we have a directive from the governor that is, in his own words, do a deep dive, I think was the term he used, into the operations of the T, which includes governance, overall operations and maintenance, efficiencies, a whole series of reviews that I think we can make in a fairly timely way and try to meet his deadline in and around the end of March. It's going to be quite a challenge. We've already had a conference call, and we also with the group, and we also are looking to meet towards the end of the week, and then we'll set on a pretty regular schedule over the month of March. So it's it's an opportunity. I mean, as a crisis creates an opportunity. I don't think it's all just, the snow-related situation, although I think, obviously, it exasperated the operations of the T, particularly here in Braintree and on the South Shore. We view ourselves as kind of the nexus of the South Shore operations with Middleborough and Plymouth and Greenbush, the old Coney line that comes through Braintree. All three lines merge here and head north into the main line into Boston and on the way home again when they head south and then splinter off into their three separate lines, and then with the South Shore terminus when it comes to the Red Line operation. So, we have 9 miles of exposed track that runs up to JFK, and so it took a beating over the snowstorms. But I think beyond that, and again, the governor's directive was to really drill down and look at the operations and try to figure out, number one, what happened and what was the situation, and number two, probably more importantly, beyond the angst that we all felt over the last couple of weeks, is to try to take steps and put in measures that would hopefully offset this ever happening again. So I'm looking forward to trying to contribute, and I think it's a good group, and hopefully I can offer a thought or two.
Mayor Joe Rossi, I know that this was just established not even a week ago now, and I know there really hasn't been a lot of time to talk, but in your opinion, in the past, there have been reports done on different parts of the MBTA, whether it be the overall operations or certain lines, whether it be expansion or maintenance. What are your feelings of, you know, whether this commission could potentially dust off those old reports just to kind of see whether it be a retrospective history of reports or even taking them and implementing some of them if they haven't been?
Well, it's a good question, Joe. I actually was a member of one of those commissions, the Transportation Finance Commission, otherwise known as the TFC, which we put forth back in 06, 07. It was actually Governor Romney who put together that commission. And we did some analysis, but it was strictly on the financial aspects of the MBTA's operations. And prior to that, I had been fortunate to serve in the legislature for 10 years, six as chairman, all 10 years on Transportation Committee, and six as the chairperson. So I think I have a familiarity with some of the operational issues that they deal with, not the day-to-day management operations, but I think in terms of oversight. You know, the TFC, we did some good work, and in fact, much of that work, not all of it, but a good portion was incorporated into the Reform Act of 2009 when the legislature looked at the benefits package and looked to absorb some, or reduce, I should say, some health care costs and some other steps that were taken. And so portions of that report have been implemented. There have been other reports that we will review. I think where this one is perhaps a little bit different, and I hope more meaningful, is that we have people kind of with some national standing who I think can offer some objective analysis towards what we're trying to do here, you know, in Massachusetts. And I think the other piece that we'll do is we'll look at, you know, some peer operations, namely Chicago and New York and other, you know, inclement weather condition, subway operations that I think we can learn from. And I will say that some of them, some of those other groups have had their problems too. So we're not alone in terms of having some problems, but I do think that with this group, when we look at the overall operations, it's a real opportunity to try to put forward some recommendations that are going to be pragmatic and achievable. You know, we can all talk until, you know, the cows come home about policy and steps we'd like to see in a global world, if you will, but when it comes to the practicality of making some recommendations and looking to see them become implementable, that is the approach that I think this group wants to take, and that, again, that's the directive of the governor.
I have to ask you,
yeah,
are taxes, do you feel that taxes will be the only way to be able to fix the ambulance? Because that's what basically the CAR column focuses on is that the folks on this panel will look to, you know, use tax money to fix this problem.
No, I don't, and the governor made that pretty clear. I mean, he indicated to us that he thinks, and he's had some time, and he's a pretty thoughtful, intelligent individual, that he thinks that if we can look at some governance issues and some operational and maintenance issues, and again, you know, look at it thoroughly. You know, revenue is not the first option, and I'm not looking to offer that, I don't think any members of the committee are looking to offer that as the first option. You know, there is a way to do cost containment. There is a way to strengthen management. There is a way to accomplish efficiencies, which, if done properly, offset the need for revenue or redirect the revenue that we currently operate under into better production. So, I know that we're going to look at this real hard, and we're going to come up with a plan that I think is pragmatic and can achieve some results, not only in the short term, but hopefully set us on a longer course of action that will be positive. You know, ultimately, you know, people need to have believability in the system, and that comes with reliability. If we can put together our transit system, both commuter rail and rapid transit, in a way that people feel that it's reliable, that will equal credibility. And once people feel that it is a credible service, they'll feel confident to access it. That will grow ridership. And that is going to be our focus. And I'm excited about it, and I know the other committee members are too.
How about as far as a plan? I mean, so if we ever have another winter storm like we just had, that there is some kind of a plan that will be a comprehensive plan that won't tie up the trains for 2 or 3 weeks, where folks who depend on that service will know that whatever that plan is, it'll be something to be quick and efficient and be able to get the trains, the commuter rail, back running again.
Yeah, I mean, that's our goal. And let me just echo your words. I hope we don't have another winter like this again in the near future. You know, I've been with my DPW guys, many of them, have been with the town for a number of years. And I've talked to other mayors who've been in office a longer period of time than I have. And all of them, to a person, have indicated that this is the worst, most pounding snow that they've seen, season that they've seen, you know, in all their years. So, but to your point, Kevin, you know, we do need to have a plan. And we need to understand that, you know, situations like this can happen. What are the preventive steps that could have been taken and should be taken, you know, in the go forward? And if we can, you know, put that plan in place, then we can, you know, not have a situation like we faced over the last 2 weeks, particularly here on the South Shore. The other thing I think that's important is the level of communication. You know, people get frustrated, disappointed, and I'll say confused when we're not communicating properly to exactly what's happening, and when they get sudden surprises such as the train's not going to run today, or we have a shuttle service that didn't work until we brought in Peter Pan bus lines to help it move people along. And that, you know, that improved the situation. Didn't make it great, but at least improved it. So a plan of action, implementing that plan in a solid way and communicating with the public, those would be two lessons learned from this most recent experience. But I want to add this point. The governor was very clear as well in our meeting on Friday that this is not a point the finger. It's not, you know, a blame game type of approach that we're taking. What we really earnestly and honestly want to learn is how do we drill down, figure out in this most recent experience what happened, and perhaps understand maybe some preventive steps that could have been taken so that this situation we faced with this cold weather didn't happen, and what steps can we take going forward to prevent it from happening again.
Again, we're speaking with Braintree Mayor Joe Sullivan. One last question in regards to MBTA, the MBTA, and I will throw out that you mentioned Greenbush. One of our listeners, Tom Carroll, who is the community liaison with Jay Cashman, wanted me to say hello to you.
Yeah, I know Tom very well. Nice man.
Wanted me to extend that because you mentioned Greenbush, and I think he...
Yeah, his father, Eddie's an even better guy, actually.
I want to stick in with this last question, and that is the South Coast Rail. Seeing all the money that has been spent and all the problems that we have, should the South Coast Rail project be mothballed?
No. I mean, I think that's just, I mean, some people look at that and they look at the word expansion, or they see the expansion that took place with our commuter rail system, and they automatically think that, you know, that was a mistake. I don't think so. I think any time you can extend public transit, public transportation into areas where it doesn't exist, I think, you know, over a period of time, and I'm going to get back to the reliability, credibility issue, if you can demonstrate that you can operate the trains efficiently, people are going to take the train. And you need a comprehensive modes of transportation. You need road, rail, water, air. You need all of them to be combined as one to have a unified, comprehensive transportation system. And when we grew, and I was in the legislature when we grew the commuter rail to the South Shore and up to Newburyport and extra lines out to Fitchburg, those were good, positive steps. What we weren't able to accomplish was the reliability factor. I don't think expansion unto itself is a bad thing. What we need to do is understand that ridership and the dependability of the service is going to increase the ridership and have people have a sense of confidence in the rail system. And if we can do that, you know, they're going to take the train.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about this winter that we are enduring so far. Where does Braintree stand as far as a deficit spending? I mean, how you got? How much have you spent, and how much do you forecast that you're going to go?
Well, I told the town council back on February 5th. Actually, this was after the initial storm, the initial blizzard of January the 26th, I believe, and then the following Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, when we got hit again. Now that was, you know, that was a fun night in a way that we all enjoyed because of the Patriots, but. You know, those two storms alone created some real pressure on our budget. And then subsequent to that, we've had, as you know, really three other storms. And so in Braintree, we've had close to 7 feet of snow over the course of less than a month. We had a $400,000 allocation that was put forth for this fiscal year. That is gone. I told the council back on the 5th, which was a Thursday evening when I kind of gave an overview of where we were as a community, you know, in terms of a state of the town type of an address, that we anticipated at that time $1 million year. And, you know, we're there. So, unfortunately, you know, the projections that we made have been met and exceeded. We're still doing the calculations. We did apply. The governor had declared a state of emergency for the Commonwealth with the first blizzard, and so we did apply for a reimbursement. We put together a plan, a reimbursement number of about $350,000. We had FEMA, Federal Emergency Management People Agency, here at Town Hall a week ago. I had my people meet with them. I also stopped into the meeting for a period of time. Had a very good discussion. The goal is to secure at least a 75% reimbursement of that $350, so that would offset some of our municipal cost. In a long way, I'm telling you that, you know, we're at $1 million and we're probably going to exceed that amount. Now, the state does allow you to deficit spend in that category because it really is an unknown. You don't know how harsh your winter is going to be. And prior to January 26th, we were going along nicely, as were a lot of other communities. So we, you know, for one moment there, I thought, hey, maybe we're going to have a nice winter and we're going to, you know, be able to put some of this money to other resources. But we weren't able to do that. So we're going to spend $1 million plus. It's just the reality of the situation. We will not deficit spend. We have reserves in place that will cover that cost. Hopefully, we can get a good reimbursement from the federal government that will help us as well, as I just outlined. So,
right.
You know, we'll handle it. You know, we have to. It's the reality of the situation. There's three ways you can approach this. And I've sat down with my team, and I was on school roofs yesterday as we look at the snow loads, and we opened our schools today, and I'm pleased with that. There's three ways, really, you can think about this. You can kind of grin and bear it. You can be upset by it, and you can get grumpy and angry, or you can work your way through it. And we've chosen the third. We're going to work our way through it. It's a constant challenge this winter, but it's one that we're required to respond to, and that's our responsibility, and we'll do it. And I'm not saying that we're not keeping an eye on the checkbook, because we are, but, you know, we had MEMA resources here in terms of the National Guard. Rented out heavy equipment, you know, at a high, you know, per hour cost, but we needed that equipment to be able to clear the streets and make them safe. And so those are the steps you take, and you kind of figure out the math later.
What do you set the FY 2000, for this past budget, the FY 2000?
We added the $400,000.
It was the $400,000?
Yeah.
All right, now.
And that's the highest amount that we've had in the town. When I first became mayor, I believe the number was $125,000. Now it may have been $150,000, but it was a very low figure.
So what I want to ask you then is, well, when you're putting together FY 2016, do you stick with the $400,000, or do you bump that up a little bit to just in case?
Well, I think we're going to increase it somewhat. The Department of Revenue would not let us go below the $400,000 just based upon the last couple of years. They want your budgets to be, you know, serious documents. They can't be paper mache. So we need to stay at a minimum of $400,000 now, given the last 2 years of snowstorms, and 13, actually, which was two blizzards in 13. So, we'll be at $400,000. You know, Kevin, I don't have the answer for you yet, but we'll probably, you know, I may go to $500,000. Now, what happens is it's a placeholder. It basically is a number that you put into your operating budget. The budget has to be balanced, as a governor's budget has to be balanced. And as we know, at the federal level, you don't have to balance your budget. You can spend, 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 and you're not required to have a balanced budget. In our particular case, as with every municipality and with the Commonwealth's budget, you need to be balanced. So we'll have it as a placeholder. The good thing is, I think we've managed pretty well. We've got a AA-plus bond rating, which is a good rating that we've been able to allow us to stay financially strong. And we've got some reserves. We've been pretty prudent with our management, and we've been good with collective bargaining agreements, held the line a little bit in those areas, but I think fair to our employees, and we've been able to manage our finances pretty well. So we've got a solid financial footing, and the reserves will help us offset any additional snow costs that we hadn't planned for.
Okay. Again, we're speaking with Braintree Mayor Joe Sullivan, and I know you got just a couple of ticks on the clock left because you got to run off to school committee.
I have a school committee meeting at 7 o'clock.
I respect that. I told Robin that I would, and Robin is great.
She's fantastic.
She is the best. Make sure you tell her I said that because she does a lot of the footwork whether I'm trying to get you on mayor or. She was beside yourself. She was instrumental in getting together that little mayoral summit we had.
I know she
last
was.
Year. She was huge.
I know she was. Yeah,
you know,
she's
so
very good at what she does.
The last thing I want to ask you touched upon it, the governor's budget.
Yeah.
What's your thought on what we might see from Governor Baker's budget? And on top of that, I know that that they're trying to build that they want to work with municipalities as they just had a little bit of they put together an executive order for a strong municipal partnership. And I believe that your community is one of a couple that were visited recently.
Right. Well, I'm actually on that. It's a community compact that Lieutenant Governor is chairing. We've had two meetings at the State House looking at ways in which we can work with the state government, municipalities, and state government in trying to reduce unfunded mandates and also try to advocate as municipalities for good funding for education and for public safety and for all of our needs here at the local level. And the one interesting point that Lieutenant Governor Polito has really pushed is trying to put in best practices and look for municipalities to look at other municipalities and understand what they're doing and perhaps use those types of practices to apply for your own community. And in fact, if you're doing things well, to get recognized for that efficiency and perhaps secure some additional grant money for performance guidelines and all. So there's a number of things that are happening with this community partnership. I think in terms of the governor's budget, which he's looking to release the first part of March. Our understanding is he's going to remain at a minimum level with local aid, which is a good indicator for us. I'd like to see an increase, obviously, but as long as we can remain level, and there's a level of consistency and a commitment from the state government that they won't adjust those numbers downward, that at least gives us a baseline to work off of. And then as you and I talked about before, Kevin, they've been very strong in terms of Chapter 90 local road monies, which is really important. Every city and town benefits from that. We now have in place a very strong, aggressive roads program here in Braintree that will roll out the first part of April, and the governor's support of that with a new authorization of $100 million beyond the previous authorization, which was at $200 million. So we have a combined total now of $300 million for cities and towns. Is an important statement by the executive branch that they want to help cities and towns with our crumbling infrastructure. And in light of this winter, we're going to need that money more than ever. So I think we're off to a really good start. I think the governor cares. He served as a select person in Swampscott.
Yep.
Lieutenant Governor had served as a select person, and I served with Karen in the state legislature as well. So they get it. They get the local level piece, and they have indicated strong support. I think they're off to a really good start.
Well, we will look to speak with you maybe later in March. I'd love to get your insight into how things are going on.
I'd love to come on and maybe in studio, too, in terms of talking about findings with this transportation effort that we're going to make. The one thing I do want to add, if I could just quickly, I know we got to go, but we're going to celebrate our 375th anniversary in Braintree this year. We are the home of John Adams and John Quincy Adams. as well as John Hancock, who was the president of the First Continental Congress. So we actually are the home of three presidents, and we're going to celebrate that with a series of events during the course of this year. May 13th being the actual incorporation day, we'll have a big party here at Town Hall, open house type of activity on a Wednesday. And I'd love to get WATD to be part of that. So look forward to chatting with you about Braintree's history as we build a good future.
Sounds like a plan, Mayor. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you to you, Joe.
All right. Thanks, Mayor.
There he is.
Bye-bye now.
Braintree Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. It's two mayors in 2 weeks, Joe. Not too bad.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not too bad.
That's because we are the radio station on the South Shore.
Yeah, I guess.
Is that going to go into the promo?
Do you want it to jump?
Yeah, that would be nice.
It's not that it's going in the promo. It's the idea that we put it when we open the show. We have all these different voices of people who come on the show.
Either or. It works for me.
Okay. All right. Well, you know who we have up next, don't you? Or what we're going to talk about.
I don't know, Kevin. Why don't you tell us?
We are going to talk about the Walk for Hospice. We actually had Dave Riley on last year. We had a chance to discuss the this part of the charitable foundation for the South Shore Hospital. And we like doing things when it comes to charities and helping out other organizations and helping to raise money. That's why every time we turn around, we have somebody in that we're talking about an organization and trying to help them. Just like last week, we had Mr. Siegel in to talk about gaming, and he's doing a little bit of fundraising. Just an update on that. They're getting close to their goal. They have the Kickstarter campaign is doing well. They're within 10 days of closing out that Kickstarter campaign. But he was able to come on here and chat with us, and I'd like to think that being on 95.9 WATD
pushed him over the edge.
It hasn't pushed him over the edge yet, but will help him reach his goal. So we'll look forward to finding out when he reaches the goal. Maybe we have him back in and talk about the game that they're working on, that online game.
That's the power of having one of the best radio shows on the South Shore.
But you're just spitting them out left and right, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm trying.
One of them will make it into the opening. Okay. We will step aside, and when we come back, we will talk about the Walk for Hospice right here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.